you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It is April 28th, a Tuesday, 2009. I got to tell you, one of the bits of training that I've done over the years, I've been trained to do this, and it's just one of these natural sorts of things. Whenever there is a commotion of some kind that would draw everyone's attention to it, let's say, for instance, you hear someone just across the street or on the other side of a large hall when there's a lot of people around, and you hear them making a lot of noise or some commotion that would draw everyone's attention to them, my initial reaction is to, A, make sure that it's not a threat to life or serious bodily injury. Once I've taken a moment to establish that, I turn around and I look to see what's coming from behind me, because it could very possibly be a distraction. And distractions work incredibly well. And those who would bring harm on others, or those who would try to get something done that wouldn't be able to do it in the face of reality, would use a distraction to try and get it on. That's what they do. And everybody's done it over the years. It's a simple way of doing things in wartime, simple way of doing things in crime, simple way of doing things in politics. Simple way of just getting something done, maybe getting past a dog. You throw a stake, and then you run around the other side, right? Well, the stake that's been thrown, in my view, is this swine flu. This swine flu, has been a total of 50 people in the U.S. infected by this. There's been about 150 people in Mexico die from it. It is no big deal. 50 people are sick. You know, more than 50 people got strep throat yesterday. All right, more than 50 people, I'm sure, contracted AIDS yesterday. But yet we're going through this huge epidemic of sorts, this almost on the verge of a concerned national crisis. So my question is, what's going on behind us that this has all of a sudden been thrown in our face? What else are they trying to do? The media is covering this thing. People are looking at it. I want to know what's going on Capitol Hill. I want to know if the Obama administration is out lobbying all of the senators to try and pass the CIFTA treaty, which would have far-reaching gun and ammunition banning provisions in it. I want to know what's going on. If you have not yet gone to 2aradio.com, clicked on the Obama treaty link, and copy and pasted and forwarded the letter that was written. And there's others that are written from other organizations. Sent these to your two senators in your state and the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid from Nevada. If you have not yet done this, you have not done your duty. Everyone within the sound of my voice should click onto 2aradio.com and do this. It is an all-encompassing 3 minutes of your life. And that 3 minutes of your life can help save your gun rights. I'm going to go through a listener email when we return. I appreciate all of your emails. I sometimes respond directly. I generally often respond on the air. Sometimes some of them don't need responding. By the way, Quince, thanks for sending in your comments, buddy. I appreciate it. Stick around through the break.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let me read a listener email here for you. Dear Bill, I enjoyed your program this morning regarding, this as of yesterday, regarding the right to carry. It is very informative. However, a comment you made is erroneous, and it may be that you just don't know. There have not been more deaths and wars due to religion. It just isn't so and doesn't match up with the facts of history. Sir, though the Inquisition was bad and thousands were killed, not millions that the libs like to say there were, and not as many people in Europe during that period. In fact, more good has come from religion than bad if you look at the facts of history. More people have been murdered in the 20th century than all other centuries combined. Over 100 million people were murdered the last century by people like Stalin, Mao Zedong, and Hitler. How about Pol Pot, and what about the French Revolution, where churches were closed down and the religious were murdered in cold blood, all in the name of liberty, too. Yes, liberty, only for atheists and people who believed as they did, but you didn't mention any of this. These were all godless atheist regimes, sir. How about the U.S., where over 40 million abortions have occurred, and who has pushed this genocide? Question mark. Pardon me. It's only my second time reading this. I sound like a fool on the radio. The Catholic Church, the evangelical. Gosh, I wonder who. I like listening to your program, and it's okay to have an opinion, but opinions should be backed up by facts if one desires to maintain their credibility. Thank you, Steve Taylor. Steve, let me address this. First of all, you don't cite a single fact in your email. So if you're going to tell me that I don't know my facts, the least you could do is back your email up with any of your facts. Here was my entire point. If you'll go back and listen to yesterday's show, I'm sure you'll get it knowing this. More wars have been fought behind the basis of some form of religion, killing more people than anything else. Now, if you want to take actual numbers, yes. The reason more people were killed in the 20th century is the earth has never been more populated than it is now. You'll probably find by the end of this century, more people were killed than last century, and so on, and so on. Because the world gets more and more and more populated, Steve. Now, that's a fact. If you'd like me to go to Wikipedia and read it to you on the air, I will. Religion has done wonderful things for the majority of the world. However, it's also had some incredibly lousy things go on. Let's talk about what's going on in the world today. There are currently, if memory serves correct from last time I looked it up, which had to be 3 months ago, 17 armed conflicts in the world today. 16 of those armed conflicts have to do with Muslim nations who cannot seem to agree with the rest of the world, and they bring a fight to the rest of the world, all in the name of Islam. So everyone who's died in this effect has had something to do with a religious fanaticism. Hitler in World War II, one of the reasons that he did what he did was he was within a godless society going after specific religions. I look at that as a religious war. You had roughly 62 million people die in World War II. Okay? If we just take the European theater, yes, in my opinion, we can chalk that up to religious fanaticism or against religion. Because he could not stand the Jews. His perfect people were blonde hair, blue-eyed Christians. That's wonderful. I have no problem with Jewish people of today. People very well may have trouble with what has happened within the Jewish society from generations and generations back. All right? That is not with the people we're dealing with today. I have no problem with Jewish people. I have no problem with the Jewish religion. I have no problem with it whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I was baptized Catholic. However, there's a lot of sense within the teachings of Hebrew, because the Old Testament is their book. The New Testament belongs post-Christ. Am I right, Steve? So before you start telling me that I'm wrong, you need to check your facts. I look forward to hearing from your next email with the facts spelled out with everything that you claim. Yes, I would agree that Mao Zedong, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, all of these people that you mentioned were absolute scumbags that killed and had no right doing what they were doing. If you want to go on to say things about abortion, look, we're going into a different discussion now. I don't know of any war that's ever been fought where the goal was, all right, the way we're going to get these guys is we're going to find their impregnated women and we're going to force them into aborting that pregnancy. That's a completely different argument. Obviously, Steve, you spend a fair amount of time at church. You've got some passions. But let's stick to the topic, okay? If we're going to stick to the topic, I'll get into some dialogue with you. If we're not going to stick to the topic, I'm going to treat it as a liberal rant, and I'm going to send it away. All right? So there you go. Steve, I appreciate you writing in, and I appreciate your passion on this. But let's stick to the topic. And again, if you're going to send me email about having facts, you need to throw some in yourselves. Moving on. I want to know, what is your line in the sand? I had a discussion last night. I called a couple of friends of mine that I trust quite well. One of them being Dave Champion, another one being a friend of mine, Steve Franks, who spent 33 years as a police officer in Las Vegas. And these guys are both very, very tuned up on happenings, very tuned up on history, Constitution, laws, the ways things go. And I pose this question to you. The Second Amendment exists, and our rights in the Constitution to keep and bear arms exist to protect ourselves from a tyrannical form of government, when we become overtaxed, when they take their power too far, when they do their best to restrict our rights. Well, that's going on now, more to a point than it's ever happened in history of this country. So what is your line in the sand that would cause you to get involved in an uprising? What is it? Now, here's the thing. I kind of want to guide this. I'm looking for emails on this. I kind of want to guide this. I don't want to hear a generic email like, well, when they come to take my guns, because they'll take them from my cold, dead hand. Guys, that ain't good enough. You're brighter than that. You're a much better audience than that. I want to know specifically what it is, because the government's smart enough. They're not going to say, okay, you know what? These, 238 different guns are illegal. We're going to require them to be turned in so that they can be destroyed, like what happened in Australia. Well, if that happens, and I fear that far more people would abide by that than would not, only because it's good talking, good rhetoric to say, no, it's not going to happen. My cold, dead hands. They come to take my guns, they're going to have to, kill me to take them. Right? But when push comes to shove, most people are going to look at their family, and they're going to say, yeah, you know what, I think I'm going to turn them in. Others will not. Others will stick to their guns, pardon the pun, and they will not do it. Let's say that something like that happens. They're not coming to take your guns, but they tell you you need to turn them in. Or they restrict what you can purchase. They restrict ammunition. They restrict how much ammunition you can have. And a lot of people, begrudgingly, actually abide by this. What about if you get, let's say, the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States, goes so far off the deep end, they say, interpretation through the Constitution is now going to be secondary to that of international law as it changes and pertains to today. That's going to be where the main decision is. Now, well, now that right there is easily a line in the sand for me. I'm not asking for the line in the sand. I'm asking for the lines in the sand. There are many different things that could set me off. I want to know what the things are that could set you off. Would it be a specific type of legislation coming at a legislative branch? Would it be a legislative push in a certain area? Would it be some sort of thing from the executive branch, such as what's going on in Milwaukee? You exercise your rights, and we're going to put you on the ground and then decide whether or not you have that right. Is that your line in the sand? What about from the judicial side? Like I said, with the Supreme Court, if they get enough justices on there that decide they're going to interpret from what's going on throughout the world currently when they make their decisions and put the Constitution secondary, if something like that were to happen, what is your line in the sand? I want your comments. Bill at 2aradio.com. Let me know. Because quite honestly, it's getting to a point where the government needs to know, look, these are our lines in the sand, and you're coming dangerously close. So we have our protected rights to secure our freedom and our liberties, which is what your job is to do. And if you are not going to protect our liberties, then we're going to have to do it ourselves. And we're going to get rid of you and do it with get our representation in there. And restore the legislative, executive, and judicial branches, and restrict their powers. What are your lines in the sand? What I'm going to do is I'm going to compile all this, and I'm going to put together some thoughts, and I'm going to submit it to the group who's putting together the Second Amendment March, the Gun Owners March, SecondAmendmentMarch.com. And hopefully we can get some action on this to where, when this happens in about 11 months, we can actually have some discussion of where the lines in the sand between we the people and the government should be. Stick with us, more after the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break, guys. I got to tell you, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. By the way, if you'd like to call in today, 800-313-9443 for any comments. If you'd like to spread the good word and get some RBN business cards, you can get 100 of them, generic, to be able to hand out. That includes a bumper sticker and shipping for $8. Call 800-724-2719 to order those 9 to 6 weekdays. Again, 800-313-9443 if you'd like to comment on anything on today's show. I got to tell you, I get rather disappointed when I do my research for this show. Let me give you an example. This is off Gun News Daily. Here's the different headlines that are off Gun News Daily right now. International gun control is what it says. Gun owner Sheriff Arpaio for Homeland Security Chief. Okay, Sheriff Arpaio, Joe Arpaio, he happens to be the Maricopa County Sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona, which Phoenix is encompassed by Maricopa County. He's the guy that does the tent cities and makes everybody wear pink and no tobacco, no caffeine allowed. They got to pay for their meals. They got to work on chain gangs. It's a system, I got to tell you. And in addition, he once upon a time took cable TV out. It got sent all the way to the Supreme Court, where Supreme Court says, yeah, you know, you've got to allow cable TV. He said, fine. So the only two stations that are channels that are piped in to the cells are the Weather Channel and the Disney Channel. Both come in off of the cable system. So that's how Sheriff Joe does this. So for Homeland Security Chief, this is an editorial looking for him to get in there. Anybody would be better than Napolitano, and Arpaio might just be the guy. However, he's a little extreme. I would be concerned about how he would handle citizens in the U.S. So here's another. Bill aims to protect veterans' gun rights out of the Navy Times. Homeland Security, everyone's a threat in the new America. What is Pelosi's gun plan? By Minot Daily News. This is just an example of things that I read all over the internet all day long. New Jersey Supreme Court hears gun limit case. That was in New Jersey, where they have a limit of being able to buy one gun every 30 days. Hell, in New York City, it's one gun every 90 days. And these guys just further restrict. So, you know, it's they're afraid of these tools, which is ridiculous to me. NRA sues Pittsburgh mayor. This time the Second Amendment is a legitimate legal position, says Gun News Daily. Here's the stuff. I got to tell you, it seems as though, maybe it's my opinion, but sometimes the focus is so narrow and so minute in certain areas. It's ridiculous to me. It just gets to me sometimes. It just comes to me in waves. And here's a wave that's crashing on me right now. We have to fight for our actual rights. When we're born, little tiny baby, actually, according to Supreme Court, once we've gotten to a certain gestation period within our mother's womb, we are an individual. We have rights. Steve Taylor, you'll appreciate this. Okay, we have rights in the womb. Once we come out of the womb, we have rights. Once we get to certain ages, we can exercise more rights because then we're considered an adult, no longer a minor, such as that. All right. Once we've qualified to get all these rights, generally through an age criteria and a non-criminal background criteria, we can then exercise these rights. My big problem is when the government does their best to restrict these rights or curtail them in certain areas. The reason I like the Second Amendment is because there is no other, and I've said this before, there is no other topic within the political realm of the United States of America, where you have more people so passionate on one side or the other, where you've got so many completely ignorant people involved and throwing their thoughts and feelings in on this deal. Until you have been trained to pick up a gun, get the thing loaded, shoot and engage, whether it's a tin can or a piece of paper, or you're training to shoot another human being in self-defense, whatever it is. Actually, let me qualify that. In fact, that's what I want you to do, because that's what the Second Amendment is about. The Second Amendment is about your security and your having the right to defend yourself when you have a completely articulable fear of death or serious bodily injury imminently, right now, from someone else. That's when you can take to arms and engage. Once you've picked up a gun and you've learned how to use it and you understand this, that is when you have enough information to argue against the other side. All right? It's pretty easy to be pro-gun and then argue against the anti-gun crowd because nobody's born with a gun in their hand. Nobody's born to a point where you're mandated to have a gun. So you can easily select the side of the anti-gunners, easily. But until you're able to pick up a gun and learn and do this, I don't want to hear anything out of your mouth. And if you're in a legislative area and you're about to write legislation or vote on legislation on something you know nothing about, then you have no right having that vote until everybody's up to speed. Up on Capitol Hill in Congress, they voted on what type of light bulbs we're going to be mandated to have by, I think, 2012. Just those little mini compact fluorescents. Can you believe that? They wasted our time and effort doing that. Stupid. Stick around through the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, let me give you an idea of where lines in the sand, the lack of lines in the sand can go. I'm going to read you a little story from Reuters. Jamaican army deployed ahead of tax increase. Kingston, Jamaica. This comes from April 23rd. This is about a week, almost a week old. Jamaica's government put police and the army on alert to prevent violent demonstrations as it prepared to announce tax increases on gasoline, cigarettes, and other consumer items on Thursday. Police and soldiers were deployed at what the government called strategic locations across the Caribbean island to quell any violent protest. Finance and Planning Minister Audley Shaw was expected to announce the tax increases during a budget debate later on Thursday, this last Thursday. Prime Minister Bruce Golding told the nation during a national broadcast Wednesday night, the Jamaicans should brace for tougher times because the island cannot continue to borrow money to fill holes in the budget. There is speculation about the likelihood of tax increase and that there could be disturbances. But what purpose would that serve? Would it close the budget gap? Jamaica can no longer borrow to fill the gap in the budget. The opposition People's National Party has denied that it was arranging violent protests. Media reports said business operators were employing additional private security to protect their establishments if there is violent looting. Nine people were killed during the riots that broke out when a gasoline tax increase was announced in April of 1999. Here's the thing. Jamaica has a total gun ban. They are also the murder capital of the Americas. You take all the different nations within North, South, Central, Caribbean, whatever, America. Jamaica is the murder capital of the Americas. There's been essentially an all-out gun ban in Mexico since 1968. And you can see the violence going on there. In the U.S., the violent areas of the United States are, without a doubt, the places with the most restrictive gun control in the bigger cities, the bigger urban cities. Now, the bigger urban cities that does not employ such gun control and allows open and concealed carry, the violent crime rate is lower. Now, the anti-gunners, the very liberal end of this whole argument, would have you believe that there is no correlation. There's none. Until you dig deeper and you actually go to get these facts and you interview the people who've been arrested for these types of violent crimes. And they tell you, look, if somebody's armed, they're not going to be a victim of mine. I'm going to forget all about that. I'm going after the easy prey. Right? I've used this before as an example. I'll use it again. When the jungle cats of Africa, the lions, the leopards, whoever it is, when they want to go after a kill and say they're chasing a herd of wildebeest, they don't go after the leader or the big guy. They go after the weak, smaller one that falls to the rear so the rest can't protect him. And then they gang up in numbers. Okay, that's the way of the world. And it's not just that specific area of the world. It's not just specifically those animals. That's just the way it works. Now, timber wolves are one species that kills for the sport of it. These wolves have been reintroduced in different areas around North America, up in the northern states. And farmers and ranchers have realized, wow, these wolves are coming onto my property and they're killing my animals simply for the sport of it. So that's become a big problem. Bad guys operate in much the same way. All right? When your government takes away your ability to do anything about it, then there's really, it's your fault for allowing that to have happened. In Jamaica, he said, the president said, the prime minister there said, you know, is uprising going to fill these holes in the budget? No, so why bother? Well, how about having a little bit of economic sensibilities when it comes to putting your budget together? If you don't have enough income to support what's going out, you need to adjust what's going out. It's called budgeting. Look it up. Budgeting. In order to have budgeting, you can't spend more than what you bring in. That's why the U.S. is in such the credit crunch it is now. Because too many people, too many corporations, too many individuals spent more than what was coming in. Right? So that's why we're in the situation we're in. So in a lot of ways, credit sucks. You know, my father actually used to say, he said, you know, you should never buy anything unless you can pay for it in cash, with very, very few exceptions. And then if you do actually have to finance something, finance it for the shortest term possible. Now, my dad actually financed a Mercedes-Benz back in the late 80s, at the time like a $70,000 car, with a big down payment and a trade-in, and took the rest on a balance at 2 years, right? Back in the 80s, $1,500 a month in a car payment. Because in 2 years, he owned the car. He didn't have to stretch this thing out. He knew he could budget it for that for 2 years. And once that came about, he bought a second, gave that one to my mother, and then purchased another one for himself. So in, I guess it's actually about 3 years. For 1 year, he's paying on two of those cars. So in 3 years, he had $150,000 in cars that he had used trade-ins and down payments and then got the payments down. Wow, that's pretty incredible. You know, one group that does a very good job of this happens to be out of the LDS Church, the Mormons. They don't like to carry a lot of paper. A lot of the people within the Mormon Church have their houses paid off within a decade because they understand how this works. Anyhow, if the Jamaican government is spending too much money, then they need to realize where this money is going and where the waste is. Okay? If the U.S. government would employ accountants to come in and see where the waste is, you would be amazed at how much waste is out there. When I was a contractor for the Department of Defense, before I took the job, I was under the false impression that the government could probably operate on about 60% of its annual budget because they probably wasted 40 cents out of every dollar that they took in. I was mistaken. Those numbers were completely backwards. They can probably operate on 40% of what they bring in because at least 60% is just, it's just blown away. It's just gone. It's totally pissed away. They have no accountability for about 60% of that. What I am have been able to do in the business section of the private sector in the United States, whatever it takes me an hour to accomplish, when I was contracting with DOD, it took a week to accomplish the same hour effect, right? A problem comes up in business, and you're able to solve it in about 10 or 15 minutes. Go out, talk to the people you need to talk to, come up with a solution, implement it. It's done. That would be a day to a week, maybe even stretch out as long as a few weeks within DOD. And the thing is within the area that I was in, I should say. The thing is you can't really multitask a bunch of stuff when you're doing this, just simply by the way that the structure and the system is set up. Because somebody somewhere along the line screwed something up. So now they've put in all these different stopgap measures and all the way you've got to do things all the way down the line. So much red tape, it's ridiculous. You can drown in red tape if you're 10 feet tall. That's how bad it is. So how do we address this sort of thing? If the government gets so far out of whack that they're taxing and spending and your rights are gone and you can't do anything about it. Guys, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. I've said these things before. We're in the midst of having a very precise sort of attack that's been coming on for years. It's been coming on for the last couple of decades, and it's continuing on. And it's getting to the point where America is starting to really notice this. Imagine today. I'm sorry. I should say, imagine 25 years ago during the Reagan administration. If we were able to look forward into our crystal balls and see what was going on today, who was in Washington, what the policies of the United States were going to be, how our rights were looked at and, quite honestly, infringed, how we dealt with other nations, if what was going on in another nation was going to affect the rights of those of us in this country. If we were to look into the future from 25 years ago to see what's going on now, there would have been an uproar then. There really would have. Now it's one of these things where they've just kind of eased us into this whole deal, right? It's like Pavlov's dog. You know, he put the dog on a table, hit the juice, and the dog would jump off the table. Until he put a glass partition up, the dog couldn't jump. Then he takes the glass partition down once the dog's used to the electrical current, hits it, and the dog just stands there. Okay, we're the standing dog when we have the opportunity to jump. We need to redress the government with our grievances. That comes through the emails, the phone calls, the handwritten letters. And let them know, look, this is bull, and you very well have become some form of the puppets as well up there on Capitol Hill. You might not even understand up on Capitol Hill, Senator, Representative, what's really going on here. But what's really going on here is an absolute erosion of rights. I can't stand the legal profession for about 98% of what it stands for. Because the legal profession has gone so far as to try to get every tiny little thing defined within the law or within your rights and what you can do. If someone does something wrong, it's not whether or not that person actually did something wrong and broke the law and caused other people harm. It's what you can actually manage through the court systems, whether or not they were handled properly, whether they're going to actually get prosecuted or get off for doing something which is actually wrong. I'm not a big fan of that. Do we need some of that? Yeah, we do. But when it gets down to the point where this was done so that attorneys could make money, and it's cost us a decent society, I'm for flushing the whole system. I really am. That's just one man talking. Just my own opinion sitting in front of a microphone. It's in my opinion, it's time to flush the system when it gets to that. Somebody does something wrong. There was a case in Las Vegas where this doped up, pot smoking, under the influence of marijuana stripper and her friend are driving into Las Vegas from Mesquite, which is an hour and a half away, going into the strip club, you know, getting high on the way, going into the strip club. And the one that was driving got distracted and plowed through a crew of road workers. They were kids. They were juveniles, juvenile delinquents, that part of their deal was they had to go out and clean up the trash on the highway. And she killed six or seven of these kids in this minivan. 21-year-old girl, high, driving to go to the strip club, gets distracted or tired or whatever the case was about 4 or 5 years ago, and kills, I believe it was six of these kids, and injures a couple more, right? So after her conviction, her attorney's trying to do all these different things, say, oh, yeah, you know, well, they convicted her on having this substance in her body, but the way the law is written, it doesn't hold water for that. It would have to have been this, so we're going to appeal this conviction. Okay, here's my opinion. I actually wrote a letter to the editor. Responsibility for your actions. If you're going to smoke weed and get behind the driver's seat of a car and control this car, and in the process, through your doped-up haze, you're going to plow through six kids and kill them, I could give a damn less about the idiosyncrasies of the way the law is written and what a jury may have come back with in their findings. Have responsibility for your actions. If you're going to smoke weed and get behind the wheel of a car, that's all we need to know. If you plow through six kids and we can attribute it that you were high, you killed six children. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know in Bill's world. That's all we shouldn't have to need to know. All right? If you don't have accountability for your actions, don't hide behind the law. Who do we have on Capitol Hill? Well, mostly we have attorneys. For the most part, they're attorneys. So this is the mindset of the thinking when we actually get laws that go onto the books. Now, in California, you have quite a few attorneys in the state legislature. And let's be quite honest, folks. The majority of the attorneys that sit on legislative bodies, be it at the state or federal level, are not good attorneys, which is why they ran for office, so they could have something else to do. Okay? They don't actually operate very well. They're not very effective attorneys. They don't do a very good job. For the most part, if you look at the history of these people, you look at the history of what they did up to that point, a lot of them in office have never really practiced law very much or very well or very effectively. A very, very, very good friend of mine in Texas, his father was a Texas state judge and actually a very good judge. However, he was a rather poor attorney. His goal was to become a judge, and he made a very fine judge. I know a guy in Las Vegas who's actually a very good attorney. Very, very good attorney. However, he doesn't enjoy practicing law. So what does he do? He teaches law. Okay? So a couple of exceptions to the rule. It's not all the same. But a lot of these guys that are on Capitol Hill, a lot of these people that are in different state legislators, legislative bodies, whether it's a state house or state senate, in generally the larger states, more populous states, California, New York, Illinois, would be attorneys who ran for this office because they believe they have a better grip on the law. But the fact is they're inept when it comes to actually being lawyers. So they run for office under the guise, well, I'll know how to handle the law. The thing is, you're under the mindset of this whole deal, like this attorney that tried to argue that the girl who was high and mowed down six kids should be let off because she's convicted on something other than the way the law was written. And you're probably sitting there, if you're listening to this show right now, nodding, yeah, that's right, that's right. No, it's not right. It's not correct. It's not right. It's morally inept. You smoke weed, you get behind the car, you kill people. Go do your time and shut up. Because most people know, if you're going to get high and get behind the wheel of the car, that's a bad combination. Right? Evidently, this girl had done this many times before. Nothing bad had happened, so, you know, must be okay. Well, guess what? If you've got a revolver and only one round in the chamber, and you're spinning this thing with Russian roulette, and you've gotten lucky to the point where, like, 18 or 19 times you've pressed the trigger and it goes click instead of bang, you're under a false idea that this is somehow safer than what you used to think it was until bang and you blow your own head off. Well, that's what happened with this girl who mowed down these kids. We need to be very, very aware of what's going on in this country. We need to be very aware of what's happening right now with this whole swine flu thing and check our six and see what the hell is going on when it comes to any sort of rights that they want to take away or further restrict, not just when it comes to guns, perhaps with free speech, right? Perhaps with the Fifth Amendment to guaranteeing against self-prosecution. We need to be very, very, keep our eyes very, very closely on the ball as to what's going on. Stick around through the break. Be back in 3 minutes.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Karnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, I got to tell you, I love waking up in the morning and getting all kinds of just PO'd at what goes on within this country to get my adrenaline going because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't have coffee. I should say I don't drink in the morning. I will occasionally have a cocktail. But I don't really have a bunch of substances. I don't have any prescription drugs that I have to take, any prescription medications, nothing. I don't have any vices. Nothing that has to go into my body as a vice. I don't have any. No medicines. I don't have to have caffeine, tobacco, alcohol, none of that stuff. So if it ever comes to a day where America falls apart, right, and we have some sort of thing, be it a natural or a man-made sort of catastrophe to where we need to have some sort of survivalist mentality, I've got a one-up on anybody that needs to have tobacco or caffeine or prescription medication in them. I encourage you to listen to a lot of the sponsors on RBN. And take heed and actually prepare. Is it one of these things where as soon as the day comes, is it going to be too late? Yeah, you better believe it. I don't think UPS or FedEx or the U.S. Postal Service is going to deliver you some survivalist seeds or anything along that line once the problem has come about. Okay? So keep that in mind. Be prepared. Don't just have your guns and your ammo. A lot of people say, oh, you know what? If I get a gun, that's all I need. Okay, that's not exactly true. You can't get anything you want with a gun unless you're willing to actually go out there and wreak havoc on the weak and the prepared because you were unprepared. And I would hate to see that happen. All right, we're going to get back into this just a little bit when it comes to these rights that we have that are constantly curtailed at the federal, state, and local levels. You have absolutely got to get together with other like-minded people and organize. And let these legislators know, let the people in the executive branch know that this is the way the Constitution is written within the national realm. Look at your state constitutions as well, become familiar with them, and let them know we will not tolerate anything other than the way this is written, and we will not tolerate an imprecise interpretation when you want to pass or enforce a law. Let your judges know that. Let them know. Because when we stop telling them this, which is what happened years ago. They ran amok. Now, it's very, very difficult to unring a bell, but you can keep it from being rung again, and you can reposition this bell. We need to start sending faxes, emails, phone calls, handwritten letters to everybody involved and let them know that we are not going to be their subjects. And they, in fact, are our subjects. They are the puppets. We are the masters, and that's the way it's going to be. And they're not going to touch our gun rights. They're not going to take away our free speech rights. And we're not going to tolerate any more shenanigans. Anything more out of somebody like Janet Napolitano in this right-wing extremist paper, we need to let the government know they're gone when that happens. They're gone when they commission such a report. Somebody needs to blow the whistle from the inside. I appreciate your time today. Please send me emails on your lines in the sand, bill@2aradio.com. You can go on there and get the letter for your senators and get archives for the show. See you tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.